Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Lech Lecha. This week, Rabbi Howard Marcos discusses Lech Lecha. Rabbi Marcos is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Howard Marcos.
Thank you, Larry. This has been a rather tense couple of months here in Israel, and especially in Jerusalem, as our government and its citizens have exerted their best effort to bring calm and security to a country whose inhabitants are under attack. While this phenomenon of needless violence is not new to the Jewish state, every time there is an intense focus in Israel on security and safety, there are friends and family living in the diaspora who ask me, "Why in the world did you decide to move to Israel?" My answer, of course, is well rehearsed, mostly because I've asked myself the same question in the past, arriving at the same conclusion every time, which I will be happy to share with you at the end of this podcast. There has always been inherent in the decision to move to Israel one kind of trepidation or another, and this phenomenon is illustrated quite nicely in our Torah portion this week, Parshat Lech Lecha, beginning with the 12th chapter of the book of Bereshit, the book of Genesis. We can imagine when the Lord instructs Abram, "Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladtecha u'mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher ar'eka," go forth from your native land and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, it may not have been an easy task for Abram to heed the word of God. Yes, we find the text telling us that Abram was quick to comply, but before we are told, "Vayelech Avram ka'asher diber elav Adonai," Abram went forth as the Lord had commanded him, there are two verses which our later commentators suggest include God's assurance to Abram that the move will be a successful one. If you would like to follow with me, you can find our relevant verse in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. The Lord has commanded Abram to leave his homeland and to go to a place that is as yet unidentified. And then the Lord says, "Ve'eescha legoy gadol, va'avarechecha, va'agadla shemecha, ve'heye bracha." I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. While there are really two Hebrew roots that are central in this verse, namely, Gimel Dalet Lamed, meaning greatness, and Bet Resh Chav, which is blessedness, there are three separate elements found in the verse to describe the Lord's promise to Abram that there will be some kind of reward for him upon reaching his yet undetermined destination, or at the very least, the sacrifice that he is making will not be of major proportions. Rashi, quoting the early Midrash Bereshit Rabbah, takes note of the threefold promise and elaborates on each one in a comment that I believe is relevant in every generation and in every situation in which someone chooses to move his or her family from one place to another. It is especially relevant, I believe, in the question of Aliyah to Israel, a question that has only really been in the minds of Jews in a practical way for less than a century, with the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. So what does Rashi say? Well, the biblical text reads, "V'escha legoy gadol, va'avarechecha, va'agadla shemecha, v'heye bracha." I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God promises three eventual outcomes to Abram as a result of his having made this difficult move. Rashi remarks, "Lefi shehaderech goremet lishlosha devarim, mima'etet priya urvia, umima'etet et hamamon, umima'etet et hashem. Lechach huzkak lishlosha brachot halalu, shehivticho al habanim ve'al hamamon ve'al hashem." Travel and relocating can be the cause of three things, Rashi quotes the Midrash as saying. It decreases or breaks up family life, It reduces one's wealth and lessens one's renown. He, Abram, therefore needed three blessings, that God should promise him children, wealth, and a great name. Let's look at each of these three components and determine how they might be relevant for us today, whether we have actually made a move in the past or are contemplating relocation now. Those who go to one place must, by definition, leave another place. This may seem obvious, but aside from the physical act of vacating a home, at which point we physically close and lock the door, one must emotionally close doors as well and give up certain elements of familiarity as well as known opportunities. The first promise by God is, "V'escha l'goy gadol," I will make of you a great nation, that is, a numerous nation, relating to the concern that family life, having children as well as the ability of the existing family to acclimate to new surroundings, will be diminished. The simple understanding of the Midrash words, "Mima'etet priya urvia," is referring to the idea that the actual disruption surrounding a move, both the leaving and the settling in new surroundings, would make starting a family or having the time and focus to attempt to bring children into the world much more difficult. Dr. A.M. Silberman, in his 1929 translation of Rashi's commentary, shies away from the literal understanding of the Midrash. He introduces the notion that the disruption of family life, the breaking up of family life, is a potential casualty in making a major move. God's promise to Abraham that he would make him a great, that is, numerous nation, was an important promise, having less to do with the move and more to do with Abraham's preoccupation with his future. The move only brought into focus the notion that among the unknowns tugging at Abram was a question of whether he would be blessed with children and grandchildren. Whenever we locate, whether it is across town or across the world, there is a chance that the distraction and the necessary attention that we give to the move and its many details may cause unintended hardship for the members of our family. The simple antidote is to talk about our feelings, our expectations, our concerns, and our fears, to discuss the ramifications of the move, to anticipate the possible difficulties that might result because of the move, and most importantly, to state in words to one another how important it is that the family experience the challenge together. In addition, a more existential response to this anxiety is to realize that change, while often traumatic at the beginning, is very often the best thing for everyone. And while the short term might bring tumult, the long term has the potential for great benefit. Mishane makom, mishane mazal. Changing places might just change our luck, or so the Hebrew saying goes. Very often, people relocate in hopes of bettering the lives of the family members. I can tell you firsthand that 21 years ago, the Marcos family moved to Israel, and we decided at the time of our Aliyah that we would be happy trying to have a successful Aliyah with our three children and spend our time and energy making our absorption into the Israeli society our focus. Lo and behold, the klita, the absorption, was so smooth that we changed our minds and decided to have another child. And 17 years ago, we gave birth to our only tzabarit, our native Israeli daughter. The second promise to Abram, as he receives the command from God to move from his native land to another location that has yet to be revealed to him, is Va'avarechcha, literally, I will bless you. The Midrash, by stating Umima'etet et hamamon, relocating causes a reduction in wealth, understands this blessing to be the answer to the concern that when one relocates, his or her financial situation is jeopardized. I would say that this phenomenon is obvious, except for those who have the good fortune of being either promoted or headhunted by a company which promises an increased salary and benefits package. The more common relocation, certainly when it takes place on ideological grounds, such as finding a place where the children can grow up in neighborhoods with similar thinking and believing families, or going to a school that meets the needs of the children requires a new job search, a possible reduction in salary, and some kind of financial sacrifice, to be sure. A move to Israel is not often accompanied by an increase in one's salary relative to that which was being enjoyed abroad, to say the least. Nevertheless, the blessing that God offered to Abram, which we can understand in modern terminology perhaps as job security, is a blessing for which we hope when we make the move to the promised land. There was a joke circulating among New Orleans back in the 90s that went something like this. How does one become a millionaire while living in Israel? The answer, come with 2 million. How can a family possibly make it in Israel with everything so expensive? I hear that all the time. And my partial and sincere answer includes the comment that life can be expensive anywhere. And as a family that has always been committed to sending our children to a Jewish day school, we're getting such a deal here in Israel, as the Jewish day schools, which are actually in the public school system, are virtually free, paid for by our tax shekels. What a savings that has been for our 4 children, the last of which graduates high school this year. Moving may bring about a financial sacrifice, and yet, as Abraham came to appreciate later, things worked out for him, as it is written in chapter 24 of Bereishit, Genesis, verse 1, Ve'Avraham zaken ba bayamim, v'Adonai beirach et Avraham bakol. Abraham was now old, advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Those things included a son and financial security. Finally, the third result of relocation, according to the Midrash, is umimaetet et hashem, that one's renown or reputation is potentially diminished. What this means is that when we come to a new place, regardless of our successes in our past endeavors, we are more often than not forced to reestablish ourselves in order to become known and appreciated once again. Joining a synagogue, becoming an active participant, meeting with neighbors and local vendors simply in order to get to know faces, or finding work and school for everyone who requires it by having face-to-face contact with those in charge will all go a long way to establish a name. It's easy to make these suggestions, but the idea that God promises to Abram, Va'agadla Shemecha, I will make your name great, teaches us that it is anything but easy to establish a reputation when coming to a new place, even for the great Abram. People are naturally suspicious, territorial, and cautious whenever there is a newcomer who is being introduced into a new community. In this circumstance, patience is a real virtue. Patience and perseverance in understanding the difficulty it is to become accepted into a new community, at work or in one's own neighborhood. I must tell you that the many commonalities shared by our new friends in Israel, including family challenges, the financial woes, and the difficulties of fitting into a new community, made our absorption much more pleasant, as we realized when we moved to Jerusalem that our neighborhood was, by design, I would say, filled with people who already had experiences or were also in the midst of facing the same struggles and challenges as we were. And this, too, helped us feel very much at home and allowed us to feel that the move was indeed a worthwhile one. To review, in the Torah, the Lord commands Abram to uproot and move to another land, offering a threefold promise. Ve'escha l'goy gadol, va'avarechecha, va'agad la shemecha. Ve'heye bracha is how the verse concludes. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. In response to these declarations, the Midrash chosen by Rashi to be shared with his readers points to 3 disruptions that come to mind in anticipation of a move: family life, economic stability, and reputation. All 3, claim the Midrash, will be looked after by God if Abram will only have faith in his commitment to relocate. Even if one of these challenges had been daunting, it would take a significant amount of courage for our forefather to make the move. How much the more so with the knowledge that all three issues were sure to be on his mind. I ask you now to consider the last part of the verse. Notice how it ends. There are actually four phrases in the verse, and the fourth one, in my teaching experience, has been sorely neglected when trying to understand God's command to Abram. The Lord tells Abram to go from his old house to a new place, which will become clear to him sometime in the future. What concludes our verse is the phrase, Veheye Bracha, the verb being in the tzivui, in the command form, you are to be a blessing. I understand this additional command from God to Abram to mean that as a result of the successes that God promises to Abram in the form of family, wealth, and renown, Abram has a responsibility himself to be a blessing to those around him. And how is that? We are taught that it means that he needs to share all three aspects of his good fortune with those around him, so that a parent will say to her child, a wife will say to her husband, an employer will say to her employee, may you be like Abraham, both in the manner in which he has succeeded, as well as in the manner in which he shows his appreciation for his lot. Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. Who is rich, asks the Mishnah? He who is happy with what he has. That idea of being thankful for what we have is the true meaning of being blessed. Why did we, the Marcos family, move to Israel? We made Aliyah just over 2 decades ago in order to try and offer our children the best Jewish education available in the whole world. With this goal, we have not been disappointed for 1 minute. We wanted to find community filled with like-minded people, and we wanted our Jewish holidays to be the holidays celebrated in our neighborhood and throughout the country. We hoped and continue to hope and pray that our children choose mates that reflect that same love for Judaism and our Jewish history and tradition that we have come to know and celebrate. Finally, our decision to move to Israel was because we wished to attach our future to the future of the Jewish people in our own homeland. The move was not an easy move in many ways. Living in Israel is certainly not a picnic, but the rewards that have come to us as a result of our electing 21 years ago to make Aliyah have been numerous and very welcome, even during the most difficult times, including 10 straight years of having at least one son serving in the Israeli Defense Forces. We have no regrets about our decision to move to Israel. Judy and I agreed when we first arrived in Israel that we would give our attempt at Aliyah 5 years. If, upon evaluation after those 5 years, we determined that it was not for us, we were open to leaving as an option to move back to North America. Well, 8 years into our Aliyah, one day we said, weren't we supposed to do an evaluation of the success or lack of success of our Aliyah 3 years ago? That, my friends, was certainly a welcome sign to us both that we had made the right decision. At this challenging time in Israel's existence, with our security and well-being threatened from within as well as from without, I pray that our leaders and the leaders of the many nations that surround us find the strength and courage to somehow forge a path to peace for the entire region. That would be the greatest blessing of all. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Marcos. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.